We'll go to the next verse. Verse number 17. Atma sambhavita sthabdaha.
Atma sambhavita sthabdaha.
Dhanamana madanvitaha. Yajante nama yajnyaiste.
Yajante nama yajnyaiste.
Dambhena vidhipurvakam.
Dambhena vidhipurvakam.
So, Atma Sambhavita. They are self-conceited. He has a great opinion about himself. Great opinion about himself, and they do not understand others. So, Atma Sambhavita and Stabdha. Stabdha means stubborn, unyielding, not ready to change their thoughts, no matter who says, no matter what. Stabdha. Dhanamana Madanvitaha. Dhanaman, their wealth of money, their pride of money, they are full of that. So, the pride of wealth. They are so proud of their wealth. Yajante nama yajna iste. And they practice the yajnas just for show. They do the rituals, the yajnas, just for show. Dambhena. Dambhena for show. And avidhi purvakam. Not practicing what is said in the scriptures. No regard for the scriptures. So let us spend a little time talking about it. Self-conceited, that's, you know, pretty obvious. Obviously, when a person has acquired whatever wealth or power, then even last week we said, konyosto sadrishomaya. Who konyosti sadrishomaya? Who else is there equal to me? That is their thinking. So they are self-conceited because their only goal is I, me and my. They don't even care about their family, about their children. You know, they're working long hours, they don't have time for even their family. Why? Because I have to work, I have to earn more money. And they don't try to understand each other. There is no effort made to understand what another person is thinking or what they're doing. As long as my happiness is met. This reminds me of a story. Some of you may have heard it. It's an old one, but it's worth repeating. It's very beautiful. About not understanding others. So this man was walking on Santa Monica Beach and he happened to hit an old lamp which had been washed ashore. So he picked up the old lamp and he was just cleaning it and out comes a genie. As always happens, you know, whenever you rub an old lamp, you get a genie. So this genie comes out and says, you know, sir, thank you very much for freeing me from this lamp. I have been stuck here for 10,000 years. A very old genie, you know, but you have freed me from this lamp. Thank you. I can grant you only one wish, but it has to be an easy one. Please don't make it too hard because I'm too old. So he's thinking and thinking. He says, you know what? I can make one wish. He says, I grew up and was born in Los Angeles and I never could go to Hawaii because I'm afraid to fly. So can you make an highway from Los Angeles to Hawaii? So I can drive on the highway. You know, I want a highway. So he says, sir, I told you it has to be an easy wish. 3,000 miles of highway and rest areas and so much work. I am too old. I can't do it. He said, okay, if you can't do that, my second wish, let me ask you this. He says, what? He says, I was married 4 times. And every time my wife left me because she said I didn't understand them. I never... So can you teach me how to understand women? So the genie says, you know that highway? Do you want 2-lane or 4-lane?
That's one joke we get very easily.
Very easily. So they do not make an effort to understand each other. What is the thinking and why, you know, the person is saying. It's not only husband and wife. They don't try to understand their children, their co-workers, their employees, people they come in contact with. They don't understand other races, other religions. Same thing. You know, everybody from this race is like that. Everybody from this religion is like that. Everybody from this nationality is lazy. So all these ideas they have, why? Because they have a great opinion of themselves and they do not consider anybody even worth looking at, worth talking to. And they are very stubborn. Stabdha is a very beautiful word which means unyielding. He says, I have decided, you know, 10 people come and tell me, you know, this is wrong, what you are doing, it's even suicidal for you. Not only is it going to harm others, it's okay, I decided, I don't change. And so this stubbornness that I know what is right, it is my way or highway, no willingness to negotiate, no willingness to compromise, no willingness to look at the other's point of view, to, you know, to regard others' feelings, nothing. Why? Because they have pride and arrogance about their wealth, about their power, about their, you know, property. I have a big house, I have this, I have that, I have everything. And so they don't think anybody else is worth even listening to. Then Sri Krishna says, Yajante nama yajnaiste. And when they do yajnas, when they do spiritual sacrifices, spiritual, activities, they do it just for show. Otherwise, what is yajna spirit? We had heard in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is a yajna? Sri Krishna says, yajna is not only lighting the fire and the priest doing swaha. What it is, it reflects a combined endeavor. In the olden days, what were yajnas? Yajnas used to be done in the middle of the town or the village, where everybody got together and they collected, like somebody brought the wood for the yajna, somebody brought the grain to put in there, somebody brought the ghee, the butter, clarified butter, and then somebody said, you know, I'll clean the place, and then another person said, I'll feed everybody who comes. So the whole town or the whole village got together, and the yajna was done, why? For the benefit of the whole town, not for any selfish reasons, but so that through this yajna, suppose there is no rain, then they would pray for rain, or so that there may be general goodness for the general well-being of the town. So these people do not do yajna for the well-being. They do it either for their own selfish reasons, you know, they pay the pujari, you know, do this yajna. Well, most of the time they do it to show off. You know, like this person will give $10,000. And they will say, sir, you are the chairman of the yajna committee. He's very proud. You know, I am the chairman. And in my instructions, everything is happening. And then next year, they want 10,000 again. So they will say, sir, last year you did a fantastic job. He didn't do anything except write the check. Sir, it was your presidentship that we had a great yajna. So he writes another check. So the point is that it is done for show off. And then it is said it is done avidhi purvakam, no regard for the scriptures. And the pujari will be chanting and they'll say, stop. Why? It's too long. Take out these portions. Make it short. I don't want 2-hour yajna. I want 45 minutes. Sir, this yajna cannot be done in 45 minutes. It needs minimum 2. I don't care. I don't have time to sit. Shorten it. And poor pujari is being paid. So he cuts it short. He removes essential things and makes the yajna useless. Yajna, especially if it is done, we had heard from Vimalji, there are two kinds of yajnas. One is sakam yajna, that means a yajna that is done for a particular desire. Now, if you do a desire-prompted yajna, then may I have a child, or may my child get a job, or may my daughter get married, or I have some illness, or my child is sick, may it be cured, then a sakam yajna has to be done precisely correctly according to Vedic injunctions. You cannot change it. You cannot modify it. If you're doing a nishkam yajna where you say, I have no desire, I'm just doing it for Bhagavan, to meet him, know him, then that you can do as you wish. A nishkam yajna can be done. But if you're doing it for a particular purpose, for a particular desire, it has to be done correctly. But these people say, cut it short. Or he will say, tell the pujari, stop. He said, why should I stop? He says, the governor is coming. He's running late. And I want the governor to come and do the aarti. So you wait 15 minutes. Pujari says, sir, if you stop the yajna, it's going to remove all its efficacy. The yajna cannot. I don't care about scripture. You stop it because the governor is coming and I have a paper he needs to sign. So I want my good relations with the governor. So I want him to come and do the aarti. So the point is that they have no regard for scriptures. They have no regard. Everything is done for show or for my personal agenda, personal growth, my personal. In fact, even the places of religion, the places of spirituality, which are supposed to be nishkam, which are supposed to be unselfish, have been corrupted, have been changed into money-making machines. We find so many people, you know, they acquire so much property, or they have private planes, or and they become so rich, you know, from running these religious institutions. Not all are like that. It's a minority. There are very few. But people make religion into a business, and that is the problem. That is the problem. That's why a few bad apples ruin the whole thing. Like there are a few priests who might molest children, and everybody gets labeled. That's the problem with, you know, with spirituality, that the people who go into it have to be extremely careful, because they have a great responsibility. They have a great burden on them. In fact, it is said, that I heard this story, that only one time in his life Christ got angry. Christ was angry only one time. Even when he was being crucified, he was very calm. The time he got angry, when he went to a church that had been established in his name and they had running it like a business. He said that the home of my father should not be a place for selling. And that's the only time in his life he got upset, because he said, you are running this institution in my name, and then you are making a business out of it and getting people to buy things and selling it. So that is what the problem is, that these people practice wrong means because they have a wrong goal. See, if your goal is clear, that's why they say that two things are very important. First, you have to have the right goal. What is my goal in life? And the scriptures tell us that the only goal worth having, the only goal that you are born for, is self-realization, God's realization, knowing God and becoming one with Him. That is the only reason you got this human intellect. Otherwise, animals also, you know, they also meet, a male and female meet, and they procreate and they build a nice house. A sparrow, you know, two male and female sparrows, they meet, they build a beautiful nest, they have children. They teach the children how to fly. Children go away and they die. So if, as a human being, if all I'm going to do is mate and have children and then have a nice house, and then the children are gone, and then I get old and I see my grandchildren and I die, then I have not done anything more than a sparrow has, or a dog, or a cat, or a buffalo. I might as well have been born a buffalo. At least I would have been giving milk. You know, human being otherwise is useless. Human being is only useful when he serves society. At least these animals do a lot of good things for us. The plants do so much good for us. So the only reason I took birth is to realize God, to make my life better, and to make my surroundings better. So my goal has to be very clear. Just as a person competing for the Olympics, his goal is 8 years from now, I have to win the gold medal. And so he does everything to win the gold medal, the diet and the exercise, and he'll avoid, you know, alcohol and, you know, smoking and associating with the wrong people. So similarly, if my goal is spiritual unfoldment, then I will practice the right diet and the right company, satsang, reading the right books, meeting the right people. So when the goal is clear, then the means, that's the second part. The means also have to be honest. I cannot practice dishonest means for a good goal. The means also have to be honest. They also have to be good. And that is what, that's what they say, that develop this pratipaksha bhavana, that I have the right means. My vision should be higher. My vision should be divine. I should follow the scriptures. That's why it says, Krishna says, make the shastra your guide. Krishna says it repeatedly in the Gita. Make the Shastra Pramanam Te. Shastra Pramanam Te. Make them your goal, and then do the correct rituals for unselfish means. Reduce stubbornness. Reduce pride. Try to understand others. And whatever you have achieved, whatever you have acquired, thank the Lord, because it is He who gave me this body, mind and intellect, gave me this ability to work. You say, I worked hard and I collected that. Yes. But you have to thank the God, you have to thank your parents, you have to thank your teachers, you have to thank your co-workers. There are so many people who are involved in my success. So do not have a high opinion of yourself. Anytime you have success, thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity, and thank you for this success. So that's what each of these verses, you have to develop a pratipaksha bhavana. Look at this verse and say, do I have these qualities? If I do, then how do I change them? So that is the essence of these two verses. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita commentaries are available in the office. I would request everybody to buy them, because there are 18 chapters, and 18 chapters is only $27. So $1.50, you can't even buy a Coke. And here you can buy a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita for $1.50. Please buy it, and everybody should read before they come. You know what verses we are going to do. So if you read ahead of time, then you can, you know, discuss, we can ask questions. And then also after we have finished, go back home and read it. So when you read it twice and then you also discuss here, the knowledge is more firm. It stays in you and doesn't get lost. So I would request everybody to get that those books in the office, because Swami Chinmayananda's commentary is masterful. His language, his English is unequaled. And so please get that. And then that way we can have more discussion rather than, you know, me just speaking. If everybody participates, it will help. Thank you. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhavave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Hari Om.